Today, we're going to be blessed by hearing three different individuals going to share. And they're going to be sharing about just how to know God's will for your life, how to know things he wants you to do. And there's different ways that happens. There's some in the Word, the Bible. He shares some things with us in the Bible. There's ways the Holy Spirit speaks to us, the ways life speaks to us. If you saw in the bulletin, starting tomorrow, we're encouraging ones to participate in a five-day fast just for clarity. And that means basically that we're taking time, and whatever fasting means to you, fasting is that they're giving up something, but you don't, the purpose of giving up is to focus on something else. It's not just, well, I'm just going to give up something this week. The purpose is that we say, is there something you're seeking an answer to? It might be just to know God better, to understand it better. So however you want to participate in that. But the first one to come and share is Steve Garlow is going to come and share about the Word.
Good morning, everybody. Just to give you an idea how much this is freaking me out, I was having a dream this morning that I forgot all my notes. Ha ha ha, I have them. Thank you, Lord, for that reminder. You get busy getting ready for worship stuff in the morning, and you forget some things every once in a while. But I want to thank my wife for encouraging me to share with you guys this morning, and Pastors Perry and Lois for letting me come up here. I guess at the end of this, we'll see how they really feel about that. Today we're talking about some suggestions on how to find God's destiny in our lives, right? First, let me ask you this. When you hear the word destiny, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Sometimes maybe it brings up dreams of grandeur, of maybe being the first person to discover some unknown planet, or maybe even a cure for cancer. Maybe it brings up thoughts of statements like, you know, he was always destined for greatness, or maybe her destiny was always to be queen. But no matter what it is that comes to mind, destiny usually implies something was preordained or something that often suggests a great or noble course or a means to an end in a person's life. I'll pull this up here so I can see it better. Okay, so what I'm about to say, you may agree with me, you may not. We'll see toward the end. Believe it or not, did you know that God's destiny is exactly the same for every single one of us? Think about it. Now, some of you might be saying to yourself, if that were true, then how is it possible that a star athlete, how is it possible then that not everybody gets to be a star athlete? Or maybe a star of stage and screen, maybe like our musician friend or magician friends that are going to be here later. Why can't we all be like that? Well, it's not so much about the destiny that we're looking for. It's how we get to that destiny. So how can I make that statement? And as many of you have been here for a long time, I'm going to say this, and you can say it with me because Pastor John used to say it. I'm glad you asked. So let me just be real about Pastor John. You know, there's probably one of the most influential people that I've had in my life was him. And many of us can probably say the same thing. I probably wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for him. But let's move on as far as that goes. So in destiny, for everyone, how can destiny be the same for everyone? So it's not so much in the destinies that are the same, but it's how we get to that destiny that makes the difference. Many times we experience the same things in each of our lives, but how we interpret those things is what really makes the difference in the direction that we head. So let me make this statement again about destiny. The destiny usually implies something that was, and here's a key word, preordained. Or it was something that often suggests a noble course in one's life, perhaps even a means to an end. So how do we get to that destiny? Well, hopefully, like myself, maybe like you do and I do, is that we go to the Word of God to find out the answers to some of those questions. How do we get to the path in our lives that He wants for us? You know, there are many other authors out there in the world like Max Lucado, John Maxwell, Gary Smalley, who have a lot of great books and words on how to live life and how to experience life and how to get through some of life's challenges. One of my favorite authors is Andy Andrews. He writes some really awesome leadership books. But for now, let's just kind of keep in mind we're looking at the Bible for the moment. So in the Bible, there are all kinds of wisdom. And for instance, if we look at the wisest person that's ever been known was King Solomon. So if we go to 1 Kings 3:3-15, and I'm just going to make a brief statement of this, is we read that God appeared to Solomon in a dream and asked Solomon what would he like from God. Well, Solomon asked for wisdom to rule his people, and because of that, Solomon was given the wisdom and much, much more, even stuff that or legends are made out of, kind of like the legendary lost treasure of King Solomon's mines. If you've ever seen National Treasure, you kind of know what I'm talking about there. But God also told King Solomon that he would be known forever as being the wisest man that ever lived. There are even accounts in history that tell us that there were kings and queens and noblemen that sought him out just to find out if what was said about him was true, about his kingdoms and his wisdom and so on. And one of the most famous stories we find in the Bible is about the Queen of Sheba. And you can read all about her and her travels and all that kind of stuff in 1 Kings 10. Now, while I was kind of doing the research for all of this stuff, I was thinking about, well, you never really know what the Queen of Sheba's name was, because she's only ever referred to in the Bible as the Queen of Sheba. Amazingly enough, she did have a name, and I found it. So here for all you trivia people, and I'm going to say this because I didn't know how to pronounce it, but I'm going to say Makeda, and it's M-A-K-E-D-A. So I'm going to just throw that one in for free. If you ever run into that, there you go. They didn't have that. It was just first name basis. So Solomon wrote several of the books in the Bible, one of which was Ecclesiastes, which by the way, about Ecclesiastes, just keep in mind that the book focuses mainly on the actions of men being in vain or futile, and then we all die. So if you're feeling a little depressed, you might not want to really read Ecclesiastes, you know, maybe pass on to another day when you're having a better day, the sun shining and so on and so forth. But he also wrote the Song of Solomon, which is a story about his love for the Shulamite woman. Now, I did try to find out her name. They didn't say. I couldn't find it. And I suppose probably having 700 wives and 300 concubines, he probably may not have known what her name was even. So we'll just leave that where it is. He also wrote the book of Proverbs, which is chock full of great wisdom to help us live our daily lives. And in this book, you will find wisdom on marital relationships. And guys, let me make this statement. There's a lot of statements been made in there about living with a nagging wife. Leave that on the page. Don't say that out loud. Just read it and move on, okay? There's also wisdom on how to rear children, the relationships that you might have with them, wisdom on friendships, the kind you should have and the kind you may not, you probably shouldn't have. There's a lot of different subjects in there. You just read them. And if you notice about Proverbs, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And through the year, there are many months that have 31 days in them. So here's a challenge for you. Pick one of those months that have 31 days in it and read one chapter every day. And by the end of the month, you'll be wise as Solomon. We hope. Okay, so having shared all of that and the statement that our destinies are all the same, I'm going to reference two places in the Bible that back me up on this. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And in Romans 8:29, for Him He did foreknow. He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And verse 30, moreover, whom He did predestine, them He also called, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. So my point being this, if you don't take the first step forward, you're just standing still. And always that first thing is, if you're not sure exactly what to do, ask God first. Just sit down and pray. Make that first statement, first step forward to Him. Because His destiny as believers is that we be like Jesus, yeah? And being like Jesus would be holy and blameless before Him through repentance and acceptance of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God. How we get to that destiny or how we live our lives is different of every person in this room. But what Jesus did for us on the cross was done in that every single one of us as believers would have the same destiny, which was to be with him in the kingdom, where there will be no more pain, there will be no more disease, and there will be no more tears of sorrow. And the Bible has wisdom just for the reading. And James also told us, he said, a lot of times we don't receive because we just don't ask. So take the time just to ask God, what is it that you want for me? How do I live this life to the fullest that you have come to give me? So go and live your life, the destiny that he has for you to be in the kingdom. And his word is our guide. Thank you. And Ray is up next.
Thanks, Mike. So thank you all for putting up with me here. Thank you, Pastor Lois and Perry. What I'm going to share is somewhat serious, but I felt like I'm supposed to talk about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit will guide us into our destiny and to hear from him. So it's somewhat serious. So before then, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit right now that I should lighten it up a little bit. And I have a magic trick that David and Kylie might be interested in for their show. So I want you guys to pay attention. So feel free to use that one. Oh, anyway. So this is in Psalm 143. So I'm going to read something from Scripture. It's verse 8. It says, "Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul." So isn't that our heart's desire? That we want God to speak to us. We want God to show us, like, what do I do? How do I get out of this place? What am I supposed to do? And then in John chapter 14, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you." So it's a promise from Jesus. So Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life." And just as he said, "I'm the bread of life," he said he would send the Helper. So the Holy Spirit is there speaking to us, talking to us. Earlier in that same chapter, Jesus says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." So I've been thinking, you know, in my Christian walk about I have to follow God's commandments. But there's this problem that I have a little bit in later on in John, in the epistle of John, first epistle, in the first chapter, John says, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Thank you, Jesus. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." But then just a few verses further on, he says, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So I've always thought that that's somewhat of a contradiction. On the one hand, if I say I haven't sinned, I'm a liar. But then if I don't follow his commandments, I'm a liar. I mean, it's confusing. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me that he's talking about two different things. If we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit will tell us to do things. Earlier we heard how Jose is listening to the Holy Spirit and tells him, "Tell Lisa to go up and get prayer." And if Jose had not listened to that commandment, he's not following Jesus. He's not walking with Jesus. So that is what John is talking about. That if we follow his commandments, when he tells us, do this and we do it, say this and we say that, that is following his commandments. And when we do that, when we walk with him, Jesus lives with us. We receive his life. If Jose hadn't have done that, what would have happened? There's a problem with this, though, and that's that God doesn't talk very loud. In fact, someone wrote this book. If you can sell a book, it must mean that this happens to a lot of us. And the book is, "God, Can't You Talk Louder?" And that's so true. But I want to share something with you. I'm a physician, and I take care of kids. And so I go into the exam room, and this kid is screaming, or he's just anxious. If I start to whisper to him, he settles down. He wants to hear what I'm saying. And all of a sudden, and it's disarming. I mean, I'm not this big doctor. I'm someone whispering to him, and he wants to hear what I have to say. If someone is whispering, you get closer to him to hear it. So God whispers to us in a still smile, still voice. He's wooing us. Pursue me. Seek me. See what I have to say. But it is true. Jesus said the helper is with you and he is speaking to you. So how can the Holy Spirit help us find our destiny or our calling? Well, let me ask you this. If I'm seeing patients and the Holy Spirit says, pray with this guy. And I say, I don't want to. I'm kind of in a hurry. You know, I'm not fulfilling my destiny. More important than what you do is that we listen to the voice of God and do it. So no matter what your calling is, whether that's a mom or a dad, whether you're working at Walmart or whatever you're doing, if you listen to the voice of God and do it, you are fulfilling your destiny. The Holy Spirit is your destiny. What if we don't have to do all these wonderful things, like we don't have to save the world, we don't have to become this or become that. We don't have to change who we are. We just have to listen to his voice and do it. Let me say it in a different way. You were made in the image of God. We know that. So what is that image? And it's really that little child inside of us that God made different than anybody else. Today we had communion. We actually received God into us, and we know that we are one with Jesus. Each of you has a piece of God that only you have, a way to show compassion, a way to show love. And if you live out of those true desires, who you really are, then you are the glory of God. When Jesus said we are the light of the world, what he really was talking about, if you allow yourself to really be you, just as Jose said when he was giving us that encouragement to see, I forget his words, but to say, just to be, imagine that who you are, then you are the light of the world because you're going to reveal God's glory. How can someone encounter love but in relationship? It has to be in relationship. And that's going to be the relationship with you. That person that you meet, that you love, is going to experience God's love flowing through you. And oh, how you will be blessed by that. So the Holy Spirit is our destiny. We just have to be who God calls us to be. And just as Andy was saying about an apple and we have bruises on us, part of our responsibility is to submit to God and position to ourselves to allow God to heal us. And we have to come before him and say, God, show us where I was wounded. Show us where I was bruised and submit to that. And that's hard to do. I mean, I don't like to go back and think about what's wrong with me. But really, to God, I am his son that he loves greatly. And that's how he feels toward you. And part of the journey, this journey that we're on, that's really more important than the end result. I was talking to someone that if Jesus was walking with me on a journey, I'd never want the journey to end. And that's what you are on. It's not what you become, but how you live with him. Thank you.
Morning. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Perry and Pastor Lois. Steve pulls his up. I need to push it down. I'm supposed to wear bifocals, but I don't like them. Just saying. I don't know if I will ever say that I've found my destiny or I found out my destiny, but I know that I'm living it out every day. Guess what? My destiny doesn't look like yours because I don't look like you. I'm so glad when God created us, he didn't take a cookie cutter and just cut, 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 right? He created each one of us unique and different. And I love how God flows because as I'm listening to Steve and to Dr. Ray share and just the songs we sang this morning, I thought, thank you, Holy Spirit, because you have so woven everything together this morning. It could not be more perfectly. He's amazing. I had a good friend tell me once that I was custom made. Well, you're custom made too. Do you know what that means? Have you ever had something custom made, or have you ever made something custom? You probably took quite a bit of time thinking about what it would look like, planning how you would go about making it. And you took so much time when you built it or made it. You had great plans for it. It's made for a specific person and for a specific purpose. I used to do quite a bit of baking. Not as much now as I used to, but I would make custom cakes for special occasions, birthdays and weddings, anniversaries, retirements and the like. And I would just spend many, many hours in the kitchen making these intricate flowers or little figures made like volleyball players or whatever to put on top of the cakes. And they were beautiful when they were done, but my hands would hurt and it was just a tiring process. But when you see the look on the person's face when you're done and they think, oh, that's so awesome. And I just think, man, when God created us, he looked at us and he was just so pleased with what he had done. We're all custom made. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God formed you, each one of you, uniquely and individually. And not only were we custom made, but our destinies are customized individually for each one of us. Your destiny is a customized life calling God has ordained and equipped you to accomplish in order to bring him the greatest glory. And so I want you to hear this. You are called, each one of you. You're all called. And God's call comes in different ways. It comes through reading his word. It comes through listening to the Holy Spirit. And I was just telling Tom, I said, I'm so overwhelmed with the Spirit right now. I'm just shaking. And that's how it was all week. God just so inspired me. And so please just hear me. These are not my words I'm sharing with you. I'm not taking credit for any of this. So I want to share with you ways that God uses our life circumstances and other people to confirm or correct our perception of what God's call is on our life. And it would be so much easier if God called us all each in the same way. If it was all really predictable, but he doesn't. He expects us to be sensitive and obedient to his direction and the way he's leading us step by step. And because not everyone's going to understand your response to God's call, you should really prayerfully listen to fellow believers who are going to encourage you and question and confirm your pursuit of what that particular calling is, because God may be speaking through them. Over the years, God has used Christian friends to speak life into me and get me back on track. And God uses the Christian community of our lives to speak truth into our hearts. And most of the time, he does it without those people even really knowing it. Have you ever had a conversation or been in conversation with a friend and they say something that is consistent with scripture and it's speaking directly to a situation that you're dealing with or something you've been wrestling through? That's the voice of God. You're hearing him speak through your friend. And that's why it's so important to surround yourself with people like that. Godly friends and pastors and mentors and counsels. And I would even say if your circle doesn't include those kind of people, maybe you need to get a new circle. I mean, you all have that circle because we're all here today. That's awesome. So God may use a friend, a teacher, a parent, or a pastor to convey his message of truth to us. And their words may come as a warning or a blessing or even a prophetic truth about our life. Whether we choose to hear it or ignore it depends on us. Do their words line up with scripture? Will God confirm or affirm that truth in us? I've heard God speak to me numerous times through other people. I've been cautioned by friends and convicted and challenged by pastors and Christian authors and speakers. I've even heard God talk to me through my own children. They're pure and honest words. And they cut clear to your heart and spirit, right? But they always remind me of God's true priorities. Sometimes life speaks God's truth. Maybe it's a closed door or an open door. Maybe we've been detoured out of our regular routine and we accidentally run into someone who blesses us or encourages us or presents an opportunity. Perhaps your actual physical surroundings stir up a dream or reignite a passion that you have in your heart. These things may not seem or sound like ways of hearing God's voice, but you need to hear this. It's possible to reduce God to our own image if we insist that God's going to act or react just like we do. God is so much bigger than that. Do you know that God spoke through a donkey? Numbers 22:28, look it up. So if God can speak through a donkey, why can't he speak through any one of us at any time or in any way he wants? Hearing God's audible voice would no doubt clench his reality in a really awesome way. I've never heard God's voice come to me through an angel's message. And I don't have a tape recording to tell you what he sounds like, but I have heard God's voice. He sounds like you, and he sounds like me, and he sounds like my circumstances all lining up and falling into place. He sounds like the whisper that called Samuel in the middle of the night. It's the whisper. Samuel could have easily missed out on hearing God's call if his godly teacher Eli hadn't told him who it was actually calling his name. And the next time God called his name, he knew how to answer. He said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I believe that God simply desires our obedience. When he calls us, he wants us to respond with, "Yes, Lord, here I am." And then put one foot in front of the other as you move. Don't wait on God to lay out a complete roadmap full of detailed directions with the end result in mind. You know, clearly marked out. God's guidance happens gradually, usually. I mean, I'm not saying he won't open it up and show you everything, but generally, it's gradual. Don't let your partial understanding limit you. Respond on the basis of what you do know, trusting that he'll guide you step by step and encourage you to stay closely connected to him. You'll find that as you listen and respond in obedience, God starts to move obstacles from your path, or he'll give you the tools to get around them or move over them or conquer them. Is it going to be scary? Maybe. Costly? Likely. Difficult? For sure. But will it be worth it? Absolutely. Do you think the Israelites weren't scared and intimidated when they reached the Jordan? They didn't exactly know where they were going. I want to paraphrase Joshua 3:2-4. It tells us that the people were given orders to follow the Ark of the Covenant, and that they were to follow the Ark so they would know which way to go, and this was important, since they had never been that way before. Is Rita still in here? Rita and Victoria. I was going to have them at the end, but if they could come up here real quick, because I want to show you something God revealed to me. I'm going to have them grab this billow, and I apologize because I didn't tell you we were going to do this beforehand. God gave me this vision, so when he stopped the water from flowing, if you actually will grab both corners of it and make it look like, you know, the river is flowing this way. Yep, that way, up and down. Okay, so the water's going. And then it said, "And as soon as the priests carrying the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So if you drop the front one and hold up the backside, this is what I pictured. I always saw pictures of the Jordan when the people crossed, and I pictured walls on both sides. But the picture God gave me was the water heaped up on one side, and then it just, the rest of the water stopped, you know? And so it was just this giant wall. And I thought, man, not that it even matters. I always thought there was water on the other side, but just this big heap of wall that stopped. And I thought, how awesome is that, that my God would do that? That's all. Thank you. And you drop, they're going to come back up later. We're going to do something else with that, but thank you. So do you ever feel like that? You feel as though you don't know exactly where you're going. God's probably not going to show you a route on Waze or Google Maps or Triptych. If you don't know what Triptych is, ask someone who's over 40. I said that to Jason Jordan earlier, and he was like, "What?" In Joshua 1:7-11, Joshua is being commissioned to lead, and God encourages him to be strong and courageous, and he promises always to be with him. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Maybe some of you are standing at the edge of the river, like the Israelites, and the river is dark with fear and hesitation and doubt and timidity. And on this side are the people of Israel. Yeah, they were captives and they were slaves, but they had homes and food and they knew what life was like. It was predictable. They knew what to expect day in and day out. Maybe your life is kind of like that, predictable and comfortable. Maybe you've become complacent. But on the other side was the land of God's promise, their destiny. There was so much promise on the other side. Is God calling you to take a step into the water so he can start moving obstacles and showing you how powerful he is? Steve, do you mind if the musicians come on up? Life sometimes takes us to the banks of fearful rivers, and we have to cross them on foot. He may carry you across, but often he says, just take a step. Get in the water, walk, time to go. For those of you with kids, you probably can rate, come on, let's go. It's time to get moving, you know. This is really weird, but when I was thinking about this, that song from Madagascar came in. It's time to move it, you know. It's time to get going. No more excuses. Maybe you think that you're not even qualified for the dreams that God has put in your heart. Because we do a pretty terrific job of disqualifying ourselves. We say things like, God wouldn't want to use me. I've made too many mistakes. I don't know how to lead. I'm not smart enough. I'm not old enough. I'm too young. If God only knew the things I've done. You know what? He knows. And he loves you anyway because he's called you for a purpose. God used quite a few unlikely people. I think Pastor Tom referenced this a couple weeks ago. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah was a drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. Timothy was young. And guess what? Lazarus was dead. So I'm pretty sure you don't have an excuse that God hasn't heard. If you don't have it all together, that's okay. Because God wants to use you for his glory. Are you waiting on God as you stand still and cry out to him? God, what direction do you want me to go? You're not going the direction he wants you to go because you're not even moving. God will lead you and guide you, but it requires you to start walking. You have to take the first step in faith. Trust the dream God has given you. Find your motivation and move forward. I love T.D. Jakes. He says, as you run after your destiny, you will automatically distance yourself from your history. I love that. I'm going to be completely honest. The first step forward, I mean, if your feet have been stuck, that first step, it's terrifying. But I want to encourage you all this morning to take that first step. We're going to do an activation. And this is actually what I had Victoria and Rita signed up to do. So if we're standing at the river's edge and you know that God is calling you to do something and you haven't moved yet, or maybe you're just thinking about planning a trip, I want to encourage you and inspire you and motivate you to take that first step today. Gather courage, my friends. God's going to supply his presence, I promise. Be strong and courageous. I will be with you wherever you go. That's what God said. It kind of sounds like what Jesus said in the New Testament. And surely I am with you even till the end of the age. Take the first step. God's going to walk with you, and so will we. Victoria and Rita, do you want to come on up? So as an act of faith and obedience this morning, I want to invite you to step into the river and begin or continue your journey across the riverbed. I had a piece of tape down here on the floor to mark kind of the edge of the river. So if you guys want to scooch back that way a little bit. And we've got our wall of water. And as the musicians are playing, if there's something you feel God's just calling you to move forward in, or even just to get moving, you might not know what it is. Tom and I have engraved in our wedding bands Romans 8:28. God works all things for the good for those who are called according to his purposes. And I know even if I make a mistake and it might not be the right step, God's going to make it good. He's going to correct it and make it good. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Take that first step. If you don't want to go alone, grab a friend and have them walk across the river with you. God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for godly friends and mentors and pastors, Lord, who help us to discover and determine and correct and affirm what you've called us to do. And Father, we just give you praise and honor and glory this morning as we cross this river together, Lord, and we, in an act of obedience and faith, move forward in what you've called us to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.